This is the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners work session. I call this meeting to order for today's date, Monday, July 21st, 2025. We'll stand for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will Secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Wright?
Here.
Commissioner Rocher here. Commissioner Ralph?
Here.
Commissioner Tinkley?
Here.
Commissioner Stitt?
Here.
We have a forum. Our agenda is pretty brief, with only two items, and it is a work session, so pretty much anything can be talked about, but we'll start with the Estera Lake proposal, a leak proposal, which we have talked about in the past, and we all have copies of the proposal. And I guess my initial comment is funding. I think the price is adequate, and I think I would agree with Dan Keyes that perhaps we should only do a one-year deal. If we did a one-year deal, we're just swamped with leaks. What would be the purpose of doing a second, third year if we can't take care of what was discovered on the first year? So I think the price was $56,000.
Yeah, $56,500.
And I see that there's not much difference if you went from a one-year to a three-year. You only save a few hundred bucks. So I don't think there's any advantage to going to a longer contract than 1 year.
Then we know what's going on.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
One year is really going to show us what all we got and how good the program actually is and if it's helpful to us.
And like in the package and what we're displaying up there, also the first year still includes two satellite passages.
Mm-hmm. Which is the same as if you did a three-year. Mm-hmm. I read the specs are the same if you do a one or a three. It really didn't change anything. My only question is how are we gonna fund it? If there's no question, we definitely need to do it. How are we gonna pay for it? And are there gonna be, by discovering these leaks and stopping some of these leaks, are we gonna be saving money that will justify the cost of doing the initial search? David?
My personal belief, I haven't done the math of the, for the usage. In other words, if we go from 75 to 50%, how much exact electricity are we actually saving or all the treatment, all that? But it's gotta be putting a big dent into how much do we normally spend in a month just on water for the treating of it?
So I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But
I had heard that, I think in a conversation I had with Dan, we're talking about it's over $100,000 a month in electricity usage and to that. So if we can cut that in half, you're already down to, what, $50,000 a savings?
The biggest thing will be saving of the pumps and the pumping, the wear and tear of pumps. If we can get the water loss down, then we won't have to pump as much water, and it's gonna save on the life expectancy of the pumps. Is my biggest concern.
I would agree with that. If we've got pumps that are running at plus 80% capacity all the time, and we could reduce that to 60%, the longevity of the pump is going to definitely be a benefit to us in cost savings.
Yep.
Do we have an estimate of like what fixing a pump would cost in terms of versus the water usage and bringing that down? Just to kind of put it into perspective as to what the two would be in cost effectiveness?
I mean, every time you pull a pump, you're looking at anywhere a minimum of $20,000 to more. Just the rewindings of them is $50,000. So, and the windings is usually what, the gears and the windings is what goes bad, bearings, gears, and windings. The cheapest is if a bearing goes out and you pull it, then replacing a bearing is the cheapest, but still by the time you get somebody in there to pull it, send it off, get the bearings replaced.
Yeah, for sure.
So going back to your other question, how are we gonna pay for it? Rich and I talked several options just, you know, in looking at this. Mm-hmm. And we have similar to what we talked about with the UV project. So we know we have a UV project that we're earmarking the major project line item, which is the $650K. That's what's in our financials, $650K for the major project line items. So that's going to be the bulk toward the UV project of approximately $800,000. So the delta we're talking about is where we're seeing the revenue come in, or revenue stream would be a CD. So one of the CDs is coming mature. It's like $550,000. One of the CDs, $550,000, is coming due in October.
Okay, I just
I think I know where you're going. We have a threshold to maintain the 35% minimum CD cash balance, but that's a self-imposed.
David, I just want to remind the board that in addition to this, we still have the tower over there we got to deal with.
Yeah. So I'm starting to do the math.
The water tower. I mean, we're talking about 60 grand for that. So that's what I'm saying. We're coming up with these things that are 50, 60 grand. Pretty soon we're at 100. Where are we getting the money for this?
So that's what I'm trying to get to. So if you add the 650,
yeah,
plus the 550 in the bond, we're over a million.
Right.
So if you add 50,000 for this, if you add the 90,000 for the tower, and we also still had earmarked for the bush hog, that's actually a capital project. Whatever delta we might be missing to get up to the bush hog, to match that, this is all covered. This is going to all be covered within not renewing that CD in October. So in other words, and to have that happen, we have to, as a board, say we are willing to take our CD cash from a 35% minimum. We have to change the regulation to come down to a 25%, or roughly 25%, whatever that would be. I'm just saying, if you're looking for how do we pay for it, it's better for us to not, in my opinion, to lose out on 4.5% interest and pay cash on getting some of these things done.
You're saying the 4.5% interest?
That's the CD. That's the
interest on the CD?
Right.
I'm more suggesting we change the regulation to...
It's been done before. And then when we've had enough cash revenue to bring it back up to the 35%, we could do that. But again, we would have to pass a regulation to go below that. And I'm throwing 25% as a number. It would be the percentage we'd have to come down to whatever to cover the 550 delta on that CD.
Yeah, it could come down to 28%.
I don't know what that number is. I'm just saying we'd have to, whatever that number is, percentage-wise, that would cover not renewing that $535,000 CD that's coming mature in October. And then we were talking about the major, in the short term, to not wait for October to initiate these items here, I was talking to Rich, can we switch places and use the major project line items for these short-term things? Because our UV project is running behind, and we're not expected to be able to have to pay that off until after October.
Until the job's complete.
When the CD comes to mature. So the CD would be paying the majority of the, you know, waiting to pay the CD to pay the UV project.
Well, I would say the same is probably true with the hydro biller. Even if we signed a deal with them to do it, I don't know how soon we'd have to make that payment.
Correct.
And would we have to pay it all at once, or is this
nope,
a downstroke and then we pay it upon completion?
We would set up a contract with them, so that way we pay a yearly fee per contract. So we'd set up a 5-year contract and pay so much for every 5 years.
That's the tower. We're talking the tower.
Yeah. And we would love
it. I'm just saying, it's another expense that yep, we have to deal with.
And we'd lump it in with the other water tower contracts, so that way it's just got to add more to what we pay every year with our other water tower contracts.
And I think if my memory serves, we're paying about $35,000 a year right now.
Yeah, it'd probably jump it up about $50 a year.
Well, I've had a lot of experience in this water thing, guys, and you know, in the town I was in before, we were losing 80% of our water. And 80% was going down the drain somewhere. Now, we didn't have rocks or any of that kind of stuff. But what we did was we went through and made sure we found a whole lot of places that didn't have water meters. And that served some of it, but we also found areas where there was broken mains that were underground that were never surfaced. You know, we cut our electricity bill. We cut our pump usage down. But the big savings was we got our water back in order with the state, so we weren't out of line with the other towns. And the big, big thing was we saved a whole lot of headaches with low water pressure, and you know, we get a leak, and we had low water pressure all over, and people were complaining always they didn't have any, that sometimes their stools wouldn't flush, depending on the amount of the leakage. But I think here, we're gonna have a lot, if we get this place in order, we're gonna save a lot of dollars in electricity, but we're gonna save our pumps, but we are gonna pump a whole lot less water out the door. So I think this is a good deal. I don't think we'd have a problem paying for it if we do it like this. But we still have to change the rules in order to that down to that 25% rather than 35%. But I look for this to be good for us, and this is a start. If that's the case, then if we can't afford it all, we just have to maybe say which is the most important, the tower or the leak. And I think at this point in time, it could be the leak.
The other thing is we wouldn't have to sign the contract on the water tower until first year or two.
Right.
So we got, that's gonna give us another 3 months to build stuff.
So we're gonna get by that till that actually comes due. Mm-hmm. And we don't renew it. So I do think this is something that's a high priority.
Did Best Air ever mention the time that they would start this work if we signed a deal?
Nope, he just keeps checking in to see where we're at.
I thought I read somewhere in there that like once we pushed
it over, I read that too.
It's like 21, roughly, yeah. 21 yeah. days, and then
once we vote on it, then I'll get in touch with Andy and get the ball rolling.
Well, the other question is, if we do this, which I have no objection to, but suppose they do find some real significant leaks. Now we got to budget money to fix them. And are we thinking far-sighted enough down the road that we spend 56 grand on doing the, that's just telling us where they are. And that includes them sending out a ground crew
to help with it.
That is going to verify a lot of these major leaks. Once all that's done and we have a nice map and a report and all that, then how many tens of thousands are we going to spend digging up, excavating ground to repair these? And I don't know if this is something that we need to think about.
I think that's where our future budgets are going to have, depending on how this goes. Like I said, if we could get this, pull the trigger, get this done, get the 40 hours of at least their contracted company that comes out and does the leak that they work with to come out and do with our team, looking at these leaks and fixing the large leaks that hopefully we find, then we'll have a budget estimate of how much, once we see the map, we'll maybe be able to forecast like, hey, next year we really need to find money to be able to do X amount for our staff. Where I know we're trying to find money. I know.
We're spending the money already.
Huh?
We're spending the money already.
Dan might have brought up some time ago about do we find 50 major leaks or we find 1,000 small leaks?
I mean, last week alone we had to replace 40 foot of water main. I mean, we're spending the money already. And we're in house, so that helps too. So the cost of fixing
it. Hire more people.
No, I will. I'm going to say no.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah, I mean, right now, you know, without doing the study, you don't know the magnitude of the problem you're dealing with, so it's virtually impossible to project a budget to go from starting point, doing the evaluation, to end of project when all the leaks are fixed. However, and I might get shot for saying this, but finding and fixing leaks is part of the cost of providing water, which means that it should be baked into the water bill, you know, the what we charge for water. So maybe this needs to be looked at over a, you know, 5-year period or something like that to see what should be added to the water bill to.
We may have to add a water bond or something so that we could pay this over 5 or 10 years.
Well, it's like
I've only really got 5 years.
I'm just saying from a longer term, at least budget standpoint, you know, the cost of finding and repairing leaks is part of the cost of operating as a water department. So the cost of doing that has to be baked into the water rates.
That's what I mean. We're spending the money already on repairs. So you can't, hopefully the point of this is to actually find some big leaks that we are not aware of, and that's still just, I mean, we're paying the cost for repairs anyway.
Well, I agree with Anna. These leaks are attributed to the water department and should be billed as accordingly. Then it lends the idea to maybe the water department should take out a $120,000 loan to pay for these. And those payments, the loan payments, should be attached to the water bill. I agree with Dan. It's 100% a water issue. It has nothing to do with the road department or anybody else. It's strictly a water thing.
I think the first thing we have to do, though, is get this study to find out. That is the first thing, and then decide where we're going to go from there.
Well, I agree with that. Because I agree that it's back to...
And spend the $56,000 on that contract for 1 year, and then we'll know where we're at.
It's going to give us a good baseline.
So I think that's where we should go to start with.
Well, this is a work session, so we can't really...
I understand that, today, but I'm saying...
We can, you know, informally come to some consensus as to what we ought to be doing about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're here to talk about.
Well, I also agree that it's a great idea, and I think we need to try and get a holistic view instead of reaction. We've been reactionary. I think having a holistic view with new technology may be able to help get us over the finish line.
Any other discussion on the SDR leak proposal?
Linda Graves, 2924.
Can you turn your mic up, please?
Sure. Linda Graves, 29 Table Rock Drive. I would also tell you that you have the excess money that's been collected through the sewer debt, and that's a pretty big sum of money. That it's a pot, and the resolution that was passed, I think, when we were on the board, was that that money could be used for water projects also.
Oh,
so, there's another. Yeah.
So that would be a nice source to use for this, I think.
Never thought of that, but that's a good idea.
Forgot about that.
Because I know there is a surplus of money there. We're not paying it towards the principal.
Not yet.
So it's just laying in a savings account.
Yes.
Rich, do you know how much that is?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's a substantial amount of money.
It's $1 million plus.
It's
about
1.8.
Yeah, I see it. 1.7, right? As of last month.
Yeah, 1.7. 1.8.
Hello.
but again, I would. Sorry. 1.7 as of last month. But yeah, so as long as the reg allows us to be able to use that, we want to make
well,
sure.
Well, maybe you said you guys passed it as a regulation, right? So we could use that money for other projects
related
with the water
to infrastructure. Okay. Yeah.
Which essentially would pay for the UV lighting and
the tower.
The tower and the study.
Yes, absolutely it would.
Where were you on that one, Banker?
Hmm?
Where were you on that one, Banker?
Off the top of my head, I can't keep. You don't have any accounts
well,
I can drop them?
That's a great idea, but see, you're on the water. Or you know, you're on fire insurance. Well, let's move on to the High City Joint Meeting discussion, which this this is segueing it. Dan and I were both tasked with appointing a subcommittee or a group to study what it would take to turn over both the water department and the fire department to the city, what cost would be incurred, et cetera. Dan has appointed Chris Collins?
Cushing,
for the water department study, and Linda Grace for the fire department study. I think I would do the fire department study for HICET, and I would appoint Sherilyn to do the water department study along with either Dan Barnett or Regina Reynolds. I talked to Dave Dobrin, who is a volunteer fireman, and he's agreed to be on the subcommittee for the fire department and figure out all the questions and answers that we need for that. Sherilyn, she would be the one in charge of putting together everything for the water department as to what it costs and what wrangling we would have to do to turn that over to the city of Holiday Island. And I would suggest, because both Dan and Regina are both experts in the water department as far as the history of Holiday Island, either one of those would be a good partner to pin it up. Let's discuss what was said at that joint meeting, which I think was very successful. I think it was a good meeting, and I'm looking forward to the next one. But let's discuss what we talked about that day. And the first thing was that comes to my mind is the revenue that the city could, in due time, they would have about $1.3 million to spend on amenities, which is still a shortfall, but it's a step in the right direction, at least identifying what's available or what could be available.
Just a correction, when you say amenities, if you're talking about recreational...
No, I just didn't look at that term.
All the infrastructure.
Infrastructure. It's not amenities. You're thinking golf and swimming pool or something.
We have zero money for the
I'm thinking fire department, water department, those things.
Yeah. Street department, things like that.
Yeah. Which are? What, infrastructure?
Right.
David, you were part of that, and as far as you discussed with the road department and what's going on there, you want to bring us up to date on what you talked about and what, from what I understand, is we are going to move forward with the chip and seal next spring. And I did see Dan's correction on locations that were, I think we were kind of off a little bit on a couple streets that we're going to get paved that are now been corrected.
I have my list.
Yeah, I don't have the list in front of me right here, but there's about 7 to 8 miles of what we're looking at doing.
Yeah.
And I say we, I mean the city, assuming they vote to do that, we've identified probably 7 to 8 miles of road. The city has, I'm trying to do this off the top of my head, roughly $600,000 to $700,000 earmarked for that. They also have $150,000 earmarked in their separate account to go for the grant that they've applied for Woodsdale. That would be a paving. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's not chip and seal for that one. That would actually be asphalt. And all that's to say that we're trying to hopefully get the, you know, if all goes well and we move forward with the satellite imagery and identify, and maybe there's some rope or some broken lines or water lines that may be running under these designated roads, we'd want to prioritize and maybe adjust as necessary. Some focus on Woodsdale, for instance, to fix lines. Ahead of maybe this year ahead of next summer or next spring to be able to pave over. So we don't want to have to put, you know, go back on new roads or newly updated roads to fix water lines, is what I'm trying to say.
That was my question as to when Acera could actually start the work. Could they have it completed before we're going to start paving?
Definitely. Because we're not going to start.
There's got to be a lag between that. Because yeah. Even when they're done, and
we got to have time to fix them.
You've got to have time to make the repairs. So
the road projects won't start until spring of 2026.
Right.
And if we get Acera in here and get finding the leaks, get us a good study, then we can start working on the major ones and rolling so that way. But then, once again, I mean, you're going to have the pop-up ones that are always going to surprise you. So.
Well, we won't be able to control that. Obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so but if we know of it.
Yeah, if we can get Acera in here and get all the leaks that we know on the roads that we're going to resurface before spring of 2026, yay us.
Yeah.
Rich, let me ask you, if we fix a major leak out under Woodsdale, that's a pretty major leak. Is that going to cause leaks downstream from there? I mean, we're going to fix one and there's three more pop up because it now has pressure that it didn't have before because it was leaking?
You're always going to have weak spots and pipes. You call them sand holes. By fixing one leak, the chances of starting another leak, it's a 50-50 shot every time. But it's just what you have to do. It's just part of it.
One follow-up question on the scans, going back to the Acera. It's two scans, but how often? So when is the next scan? Like if we do a official scan.
Yeah, I don't think I read a separation of time between scan one and scan two.
Yeah, because it was 6 months. Because they did a 48-hour scan.
Okay.
And then they waited 5 to 6 months, and then they did another 48-hour scan.
Okay.
So that way they broke it up half years.
Okay.
Yeah. My totally untechnical opinion about fixing one leak and having another pop, I don't really think that that's the case because our leaks aren't so severe that the system can't maintain a certain amount of pressure. I mean, the line pressure is going to be, you know, 120, 160 psi. Whether there's a little leak here or not, you stop that leak and it's not going to increase the line pressure, so I don't see any reason why fixing one of these would create another one. However, the area that we picked to do the road resurfacing next year, the chip and seal, are all of the roads, like in the area around Danube and Lower Table Rock Drive, which historically Danube has had the highest failure rate is for leaks per mile of any place in Holly Island. So there is, you know, first of all, we are going to want to be sure that there aren't still leaks there that need to be fixed. But secondly, there's a certain amount of holding your breath associated with bringing all that heavy equipment in there and resurfacing those roads in that, you know, if the lines are very fragile, then you know, disrupting that could create leaks. That happened to us on Hillcrest several years ago when we actually put new asphalt down there, and within a year we probably had, I don't know, well, every house on Hillcrest and Mission Hills, basically the service line started leaking. And we had to cut up that brand new road. And I sure hope that doesn't happen down on Danube. We included it in our bid package that when they put down the chip and seal, that they roll it, but they don't tamp it because the tamping, Mike said, would really have a potential of tearing up the water lines. So,
I agree.
So they go hand in hand.
And so on some of these roads, and this is, I don't know this I'm a novice. So on some of these roads, for instance, where there's one or two houses, and we got to go down and, you know, I think Haddock Lane is a good example. Like maybe there's two houses.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way before we chip and seal to those service lines that are going under the road to these vacant lots? Is there any, I mean, we could still sell it, say that there's water to the lots if we go internal. Is there any way to isolate those off the main for on the right side, on the one side of the road?
Well, it's the
before we go in other words, if we don't make sure the one line is going down the right side all the way to the house at the end, then all these other service lines that are just there, is there any way to isolate those?
There is, but the main thing is where's the water main? Is it on the side of the road, or
that's,
is it under the road?
Those are all turned off the B box now anyway, right?
Well, they're turned off at the water meter box, yeah. But not at the main, you've got a corp that's always on. And then, but then you're digging down to the main to turn off that corp, and then when somebody decides to buy that lot, you're digging back down to the main to turn it back on. So if the main's in the ditch, okay, that's great, that's easy. If the main's in the middle of the road or side of the road, then we're tearing up street anyway just to turn on and off a valve. So the location of the main is going to be the biggest thing on all that.
Well, I asked that question because in preventive maintenance, if we could identify what you just said, if it's in the ditch or something like that, if we can, before we roll in and start breaking lines or whatever, it'd be easier to do it at the initial and isolate where we can on some of these, Woodsdale, maybe not, but some of these more remote locations on these roads, I think that would be beneficial if we could do that and plan accordingly.
It'd be real interesting to see if this study shows that, you know, a lot of our leak problems is service lines that have never been hooked up to. They're just stub lines out there leaking a little bit, you know, because it doesn't take much if you have, you know, 2,000 service lines out there that have never been hooked up to a house and they're all weeping a little bit. That's a lot of water every month.
It is. Dan, can we shut off those? I mean, Rich, can we shut those off at the curb?
That's what he's saying.
And
well,
be done with them?
Well, you got water main, then off the water main, you got corp, and that's a valve, and then you got your line that goes to your meter box.
Right.
So if there's anything leaking in between there, you got to dig down the main to kill this corp and then fix that line.
Well, right off of the main, isn't there a shutoff on every one
yep,
of those?
Every one of them. There's one right at the main. But
ones that aren't used, we probably need to.
But it's saying that they're under the road.
Yeah. Oh, under the road. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still home.
See, when
yeah.
you when they put a water main in and they put them corps in and run the line over here to the meter pit, they turn off the meter pit and they turn on the corp. And every corp is turned on. So that way you don't have to go back down there and turn that corp on. You just put your meter in, turn that valve on.
Now, when we're replacing a water line, we don't replace that with. We replace it with what, blue plastic?
Yep, we use the polybutylene
right.
Because what we found a lot of when they first developed the place.
There's only one thing works in rock, and that's blue plastic
yep.
or metal.
Well, what they were seeing a lot of was when they developed the place, they used a lot of what I call farm roll plastic,
yep.
which is not as thick as the polybutylene.
That's right.
And that's why we get so many leaks from the main to the mirror pit, because when the plumber comes in and hooks on the mirror pit, he's using the correct piping to go to the house. So that's why most of our leaks are from the main to the mirror pit because of what the previous.
Well, that's why I was asking, because I just wanted to make sure that that I was on the right track, that what was going on.
When we find them, I mean, we get rid of the farm roll plastic and we put in the polybutylene.
Thank you.
Dan, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, but I figured I would, so I just eventually I'll just stay here.
No, Linda Graves wants to have a say at this.
Yeah, Dan was mentioning the Danube being the worst street, and I just happened to see on one of the social media pages in the last week where they were reporting a new leak. It had been apparently calm down there for quite a while, but they've reported a new leak. They showed a picture of it, and I hope to heck that they called the water department.
Yeah, it's
was that on Danube, or was that the one on Summit?
No,
it's Danube and Hickory.
Other discussion about the Saturday meeting?
Do we need to hear, like, set a date that we would like to target and then let the city pick a date for our next joint meeting, or do we pick a date that I miss for our next meeting?
I don't think we chose a date on Saturday.
Yeah.
No, we haven't picked a date for the next.
So do we want to maybe throw something out and then let the city?
I think you need to get your committees together and let them meet and discuss stuff, and then probably go from there on another joint meeting. That way you can all collaborate then.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. The next joint meeting would basically be a report out of the, from the three subcommittees. So we probably need the three subcommittees, give them some time to do some work, and then maybe set a date.
So what, but again, just for, are we talking next quarter, or we talk end of next, I mean, what time period should we be looking at for our next meeting?
Well, I think the groups, both the city and Heisen groups, subcommittee should have at least 30 days or so to gather information.
At least 30, I would think.
I think 60 days.
I would say probably middle of September.
Yeah, mid to late September.
We want to do it early September, so that way if we have to decide on anything, we can vote on it at the end of September.
Okay. You want to pick a date today?
No.
Or just a generalization?
I was trying to generalize, like, because if you don't, in my opinion, if you don't put some kind of generic, like, are we talking next quarter, things will get pushed, and you just, it's not been thought about until they were up against a deadline. So I think that's that way.
Yeah, so I think
roughly
September. Okay, any other discussion about the joint meeting between the city and Heisen?
So do we want to kind of tentatively say subject confirmation like the third Saturday in September? This would be the 20th.
That's the day of the art out sculpture.
20th is out. Principal player would be. How about the 27th? I think the 13th is pushing it, because that, you know, that only gives the subcommittees. The subcommittees haven't even picked a date for their first meeting yet, and I think, you know, squeezing them down to 5 or 6 weeks to try to get, you know, something substantial done is, you know, kind of cutting a little short.
What would the 13th look like? My biggest concern is September, our regular meeting would be the 22nd. So if the committees came up with anything and it was something that we had to get on agenda to vote on, we would have to vote on it for September 22nd.
Or call a special meeting.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I would say if there's something we need to actually vote on after that meeting on the 27th, we could still have a special meeting. Go ahead, Lennon.
I wouldn't think you'd have to vote on anything, because you'd probably want to have a joint meeting to talk about what the committees met about and what they discussed before the two parties vote on anything, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if we had the joint meeting on the 27th, what Rich is saying is our regular meeting would have been 5 days prior. So, you know, if there's something we needed to vote on, we could call a special meeting for Monday the 29th or the Tuesday the 30th.
Yeah, and we could always do that, because all we got to give is 2-hour notice for a special meeting.
Right. So I think the 27th is a good time, a good tentative date, pencil in.
Worked for me.
Well, it's
subject to change.
Yeah.
The 27th, subject to change.
Well, we're just penciling it in for now.
Yep. Exactly.
And if we do it on the 27th, would we have Nicole come back? Cindy Ray.
Nicole's gonna be there anyway.
I mean, I planned on it, I don't know where I'm going, but I think I'm coming back from it.
I apologize.
Yeah, they failed to tell you about something.
Apparently.
Now, Cindy Ray, would we have the facilitator back, or do we wanna go ahead on our own, or do we?
She was a big help at this last.
That's what I think we ought to continue on, having Cindy referee these things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, but every once in a while, she would come over and whisper in my ear that I was.
Put the mic down.
Teetering on being illegal as far as what you can do in a workshop, and so she was good help.
Okay. Oh, pencil day.
That she brought donuts.
Yeah, that's
and worth
it.
And water.
That's worth inviting her right there.
I think that was compliments of Walmart.
Oh, it probably was.
I think it was.
Any other discussion on this joint meeting we had with the city? I open it up for public comments. Alex?
I missed an opportunity. I'm just glad, after having attended that joint meeting, that the two groups have been getting together finally after a delay, and all the issues that you're covering, and that report that you handed out, that multi-page report that you did about all the topics to be considered and some of the consequences, that's really helpful. That should get wide distribution.
People on the need website.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. And there also, I don't know if you noticed that in the Times Echo newspaper, there was an excellent summary too by the reporter in there that covered all the main issues. So that needs wide dissemination. I've been trying to share that with some of my neighbors in the neighborhood that don't normally read that paper. So my bottom line is, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. If you keep the momentum going like you're doing, I think we're gonna see a lot of progress here. This has been a long time coming. Good. Carry on.
Thank you, Alex. No other public comments? I'd open it for commissioner comments.
Yes, I have a comment, Rich. I was at the golf course. I haven't been to the golf course a lot, but I've been a few days. just drove over there and watched the guys golf. First thing yesterday when I got over there, the guys got done, and we were sitting there and out, and I got jumped at. There's a couple of, one green, they said, looks like we're going to lose. I don't know if you know that. Is that a fungus on that?
Yeah, it's a disease that he's battling right now,
well,
trying to get cured.
I didn't see, the gates were all closed yesterday, and you would think that when it's hot, that somebody would be watering every day.
Water, yeah.
And not just leaving the greens. You're either going to have to go there and run that deal of it so the water penetrates a little bit. But just to go out there and hand water those greens, I don't think, you know, you can turn that thing on for a minute or 2 minutes or whatever and water. And especially when they're not there, they can set that timer for three or four times a day. I mean, I can't see us losing the greens.
Yeah.
Just because we're not doing our job.
No, he's aware of the fungus we got going on with the greens, and he's been treating it and trying to take care of it while he's actually.
I went out and looked at a couple of spots that were, and yeah, it's a fungus. I told those guys it's not water, I don't think.
No,
I said, this is a fungus.
Yep.
I've seen it many a times. Because I used to go off both courses with the greenskeeper every week, so I pretty well understand what they're talking about on greens. So, anyhow, I just wanted to question. Why on the weekends do we, you know, we lock the gate, and we don't have anybody out there do anything. We hire these guys for the year. We don't hire them by the 40 hours.
No.
No greenskeeper works 40 hours. They work a lot more hours than 40 hours, I guarantee you. Most greenkeepers probably work 80 hours a week. That's my comment on the golf course, because I hadn't been over there for a few days, and I've only been there about two times or three times or a couple, three holes. And first thing I get over there is five guys are yelling at me about we're losing the greens.
Well, I'm hearing the same kind of comments, and We started the Gulf Waterline project in May. Now we're mid-July. I guess what I want to hear at the next meeting is, when is it going to be completed? Having been 40 years of construction, I can tell you I always had a completion date. And there were sanctions when you don't meet that date. This has gone on and on, and I don't see an end coming, and I'm getting a lot of bad comments on the golf course about, when is this job going to be completed?
The job was complete, and then on the back nine, we have problems with the fittings they used, and we don't know if it's from people running over the sprinkler heads or if it's just a bad fitting, but they're cracking at the seam on the PVC fittings, and I have to go back and fix them. The front nine, we haven't had any problems.
Pipe it and loop it. I mean, when you go out there and look, there's stuff like this in those holes. I mean, it's just going every direction. Why didn't they just use some blue plastic and hook all those together?
Because they don't make blue plastic in 2.5 inch. You got to do it 2.5. It's all 2.5 inch PVC.
They don't make 2.5 inch?
Not roll plastic or polybutylene.
Can't you get some plastic that they do make?
Well, then you got a plastic pipe or a polybutylene that's just kind of no support.
Boy, I tell you what, they're just going to constantly
on the swing joint.
Elbow's going to have blowups. Because I don't care what you do, you're never going to stop that the way it is. I don't know if it's the glue they use or the bad plastic.
I think we got, when they went through and redid all the female connectors, yeah. I think we got a bad case of female connectors because they're splitting all right in the same spot.
Yeah, I know. I've looked at all those holes. I mean, some of the places they've dug up 3 times already.
Mm-hmm.
You thought they would have did it right the first time.
Manufacturing. Everything's getting cheaper. Throwaway parts.
It's a mess.
Yes. The whole world.
We still need a completion date.
The project's complete. All the sprinkler heads are in. It's completed. Now
we're
just
off last week.
Are they using them?
Yeah. Besides leaks.
Laying around the green.
So now we're dealing with, what's that?
There are sprinkler heads down there on 12 laying around the green. 3 or 4.
They've been there for months.
There's a huge hole right on the approach.
Yeah, so right now they're just dealing with the leaks that pop up, and then the rocks, they're pulling the heads out because we're still piling rocks in the main.
So what's the answer?
The project is complete. Now we're just trying to get all the bugs worked out to get going good. As far as the digging of the sprinkler heads, putting the sprinkler heads in, and all that is complete. Now it's just fixing the leaks that pop up due to bad joints and rocks in the water main that are plugging up the sprinkler heads.
All right. I guess I'm not going to get a date, so we'll move on. There has to become a time when there's a deadline and we have to be finished. And that job is not finished. I would not pay anybody to do that work because it's so incomplete. And I can take a ride over there tomorrow and make notes on every hole, every fairway, what is wrong with it. And I'll bet I have 18 different discrepancies. I have discrepancies on every fairway. Is there a fairway that is 100%?
I don't think so. There might be, but I don't know that.
Well, the bottom line is, we authorized this to be done,
and now
hard to go to the golf course and not hear an earful every time you go.
I know. I haven't been there for, I haven't played golf for, well, tomorrow will be a month. I've been out, not even lived today, and I got over there twice, and people have come right up to me and said, hey, what's going on in this place? I said, well, I don't know. I'll bring it up at the workshop, and we'll ask the boss.
Well, I think we'll take a survey of the whole golf course and what is incomplete, what needs to be repaired.
Well, there's lots of places that the fairways, they put grass on them to they put the grass on them, but it sticks up maybe this high. I don't know why you wouldn't have taken something out there, roll it, took a roller and roll it down or something.
Oh, there's several spots that I have to.
You got water and then.
Seen on it, it's never been watered.
What's that?
There's several bare spots all over that golf course.
Yeah, well, they haven't.
Had seen on it that's never been watered.
Yeah, I know. I've had.
And I understand that's why we did this, is so it would get watered.
I know. I know that, but it's not been done.
Okay, let's move on. The sign at the clubhouse. It doesn't work and it hasn't for weeks.
The
sign at the clubhouse.
The digital sign at the clubhouse. So Mark's getting prices on.
Yeah.
Mark's getting prices on a new one now. So we thought it was just the puck that sent the relay out there, but after replacing the puck, the whole sign is junk. Okay. So Mark's getting me prices on new ones now, and then I'm gonna go around and see what we can do about donations to help us out and everything like that. But I wanted to get a solid number on it before I started.
Are those expensive?
Once I get a solid number on it, I'll let you know.
Oh, well, I don't know if they're 1,000 or if they're 10.
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you.
And Dan, you said that sign's pretty old to start with.
I bought it years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, IHOP bought it initially, but, I mean, just to look at it, it's, you know, technologically, it's obsolete, you know.
It's pretty heavy.
You can't even read it driving by, even when it's working.
No.
So I hope if we replace it, we replace it with a nice modern LED sign that's easy to program as far as what you want to say on it.
The wood part of the sign above it is also rotted. Last year that windstorm came through and knocked it over, and we put it back up, but it's just barely hanging up there. So my goal is to get rid of the wood sign part of that, and then do the full digital with the digital part of that built all in. So it's gonna be a lot bigger and better is what Mark's getting prices on. It's gonna be like 6 foot by 4 foot. So that way we can do the Holiday Island golf course above that and get rid of that wood sign that's rotted anyway.
I would check with Rotary and IHOP. They usually have money available for community projects. Especially if it's going to be a community billboard.
Yeah. Okay. Are we now closed permanently on Tuesdays at the restaurant?
As of now, yes.
And that's because of manpower?
Because of no employees.
Because of what?
No employees.
No employees. Lack of employees. The amount of overtime that Spencer was putting in and the amount of hours that Missy was putting in, we had to figure out how to reduce the hours or we were going to lose them both because they are totally just overworked.
I can't find any help at all.
We get waitresses to come in there and cooks come in. They're there for a couple weeks, then they're gone. It's just...
I did talk to Missy and she said Tuesdays were the least profitable days, so that was the most logical if we're going to go shut a day off. Tuesday was the most logical day, which makes sense to me.
And it also, that way he could also go in for a few hours and clean the kitchen because the
She said, well, clothes, he can clean
the kitchen's stuff. Been neglected already, and we don't want to roll into the same thing we ran into last time.
Okay. Do we learn anything about the water line on the ninth hole for the butterfly garden? Keep hearing about that because Burns moving.
Yeah.
And all that stuff's going to die if we get water. So I told Vern, I would talk about it today, and according to Vern, he doesn't know where that 4-inch main is that they could tap into for an irrigation spigot. But he said that Dan could locate it rather quickly because he may know exactly where it is.
Yeah, there's a valve there that shows us where it's at. And the other thing is electrical, but the biggest thing is as soon as I talked to Vern about it, then on last Wednesday, then Friday, Dan took off and has been gone all last week. So Dan has been on vacation.
Okay.
But Vern closes on his house in August, and he'd really like to see that done before he leaves. So we're working on it.
How much pipe do they have to run? The 4-inch line, I don't have any idea where the relationship is from the 4-inch line to the actual butterfly duct.
So it's the 4-inch...
50 feet or 300 feet?
No, the 4-inch line runs right in between the two flower beds.
Oh!
And there's a valve right there on the other one. So you're looking at 30 foot of pipe. So.
Okay. Well, you talked to Vernon.
Yep, Vernon's been in.
They put in jobs and time and hours of money in it, and I assured him that we would do something to make sure that it all doesn't die.
We're going to get dug down. My side of it, we're going to dig down to it, put a saddle on it, run the pipe, and then we're hoping that the somebody on the other side would donate the hydrant that would come up out of the ground, which is $200.
I think we can raise $200 with all the response we had when they had the open house of the butterfly garden. All we had to do was set on a little bowl and people would have donated. And I still think we can. Mm-hmm. Other commissioner comments? That's pretty much what I have. If we have no other comments, then
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll take the motion.
I moved and seconded. This meeting is adjourned.